Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, today I'm going to start out, before I speak about the house of prayer and about the camp and how God's been leading, I'm going to start out by encouraging each and every one of you. And I felt that very strongly all through the week because I believe that every one of you in this room want to know God more. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to know God more. And one of the ways of doing that is allowing God's divine grace to have its way in you and work in you. And one of the ways you can do that is by allowing the Lord to stir you up inside to become an encourager, to begin to encourage other people, and to be encouraged, to allow people to encourage you. And so this morning, before I even got into the house of prayer, I just wanted to encourage every one of you in the faith and tell you that, you know, God is going to see this thing through. He's going to see it through. And God has not called us to be discouraged. God's called us to be encouraged. And that's who He is. And this is a time of breakthrough for many of you. This is a time of moving forward. This is a time of freedom for many of you to get back into the place of freedom. But it's also in the place of advancing and moving forward in Jesus' name. Jesus was always an encourager, everywhere within the Scripture. And so I want to challenge you, because I want to be more like Jesus, I'm sure you do too, that we would be encouragers to one another. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was an encourager. And we live in a world that's filled a lot of times with discouragement. And many times we can get in that place of discouragement very easily. And if somebody's discouraged, instead of encouraging them, we kind of move into the place of discouragement. And God does not want us to have that on us. And He doesn't want us to live in it. Let me just say this. Discouragement does not fit the man and the woman of God. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. I mean, it's not to say that I'm denying that we don't have bad times and we go through rough times. I am saying that we do. But those trials should work things within us. But I want to encourage every one of you to be encouragers from this day forward, to start something new in your life from this day forward. To say, I'm going to encourage people more than I've ever encouraged people before. I'm going to encourage my family more than I've ever encouraged my family before, no matter what the circumstance is. And I want you to think about who's encouraging you. Who's been an encourager in your life? We know that Jesus will always encourage you if you let Him. But who's encouraged you? And think about that and what it meant to you when somebody would just step up and encourage you about your walk with God. Think about it. It's powerful, and it changes things, and it moves you. I know it moves me. And you need to ask, what encourages you in your life? You know, what is it that you need right now from the Lord? What is it that you need to hear? Because He wants to speak to you, and He wants to encourage you. Have you ever been around somebody that when they speak to you, you get all stirred up and you get fired up just after spending a few moments with them? You can be that way too. You can be that way too. And so let this ministry from now on, from this day forward, let it be that we're a group of encouragers. You know, I heard some testimony about people from years ago coming into Voice and here recently also, and how they were encouraged and how they were accepted. There was a man that my son was sharing with Steve as they were in the county jail, and he said, yeah, he said, the church, I went to a church one time that was at this mall, at this theater, and he says, I was all tattooed up, and he said, I walked in there, and he said, everybody accepted me just how I was. They just loved me exactly where I was at. And my son said, well, that was our church. And he was amazed, and that's where we need to be always as a people. Everyone that walks through that door should be encouraged. Everyone that walks through the door should be embraced, no matter what their situation, no matter what they're going through. We're not called to avoid people. We're called to embrace people with where they're at. And God, and I'm sure that every one of you would agree that every one of us We're a mess without Jesus Christ. I know I can say amen to that real loud. I am a big, big, I'll put stinking mess without Jesus, because I am. And he's changed everything. So from this day forward in this house, let's be encouragers to one another. Let's pick up the phone. Let's text somebody. Let's just encourage them. And I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm not talking about phony stuff. I'm talking about genuine things that you hear from God that you begin to give to other people. And you begin to encourage each other within the faith. It doesn't fit to be in discouragement, only in encouragement. The work of divine grace always wants to bring us into that place of operating in grace. This is another thing, too, that you need to realize that courage comes from faith. Courage comes from love. And when you're in courage, you begin to have courage to step out in things. Because all of a sudden it feeds something within you, because you were created for greatness, every one of you in the room. You've heard that over and over, but do you believe it? Do you believe it? God wants you to exercise great faith in this hour. He does not want you to just step back and just let things flow. He does not want you or me to make sure everything, every I is dotted and every T is crossed. Everything's just right, so now I'm going to take my little step of faith. He doesn't want that. He wants you to step out in faith in this hour and trust God and watch how he fulfills things. How long has it been since you stepped out in faith? Sometimes the right foundation for each and every one of us to have is the foundation of knowing that we've heard the voice of God, we've heard the word of God, and now we can step out boldly in faith to walk something out. When you hear the Lord, you are encouraged in a massive way. I am. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to know that, man, with Jesus, all things are possible. They can be possible. Don't whine. Don't complain. Don't get into the discouragement group. Get into that place of being encouraged. You know, yes, you may struggle. Yes, you may have a trial. But know that Christ will move you through that and bring you into a wonderful, beautiful place. God is not a God of discouragement, as I said earlier. I said everybody has bad times. I've had bad times. I'm sure you have. And I, when I was writing some of this out, a young lady came to mind. Her name was Nadine, and Nadine was from Rwanda. And Nadine had went through all kinds of things in Rwanda. Some of you know Jackie Adams. It's her daughter. And Nadine, I don't want to go into any description of what she went through, but she was literally left for dead. She was left for dead. Most of the people during that genocide were killed by machetes. And then let me just tell you this, that racism is not black and white. It's just hatred. This was black and black, and it's just hatred and evil. And this evil had its way, and Nadine got in the crossfire of it, and she was left for dead after being beaten with a machete. She got up from there, and she began to trust the Lord. And she was embraced by people who loved her. She came to Voice Ministries and went through counseling and healing and was loved on for a long period of time. And now Nadine is married, living in Arizona, and has a couple children. And she's doing well. Why? Because she did not live in the place of discouragement. She did not live in the place of hopelessness. She knew that Jesus could bring her into wholeness. And so when I think of Nadine, of all that she went through, and she picked herself up and trusted the Lord, she made a choice to choose Jesus. And when she did that, things shifted and changed within her life. And now she's married with children. And she literally, I think she's okay because she shared her testimony before. She literally was put on a pile of death and crawled out from underneath it. And that's how she made it. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never went through anything like that. And the zeal, the zealousness that's within her is genuine and real. And her desire for life is so powerful right now because of what she went through. So sometimes the things you go through will strengthen you and encourage you. I would say that Nadine was a work of divine grace in her life. To know Jesus and to know him personally, and to make him personal in your life is the key to all freedom. It will always be that way. If you're living in bondage, you're living and you're struggling right now, it's through freedom and knowing him that you'll be able to walk in the things that God's called you to walk in. I have said that forever, and I will say it to the day that he takes me. You can defend yourself, and you can agree with people that live in discouragement and say, that's where I want to be. But I'm telling you, it's not life-giving, it's not freedom, and you're not going to advance in what God has for you. I'm concerned about this ministry, this region, this house of prayer, to advance now in the things that God has for us as people of God moving forward. Today, I want to say that no child of the living God is to give up or to quit. No child, let me say it again, no child of the living God, which is all of us, if we've chosen Jesus, is to give up and quit on anything, any place, any time. One of the people that encouraged me most is my wife. My wife, there I go, crocking, it's trying to talk and cry at the same time. My wife, I've watched her go through so much physically, but she has never given up. And she proclaims Jesus, and she loves Jesus, and she loves her family. And she loves God's people, and she is a woman of wisdom. And she could have given up so many times because she's went through a lot of physical things. But to me, she is one of the biggest encouragers in my life because of how she has not quit and she keeps saying yes. She is an encourager to me. You are an encourager to me forever. There's many encouragers in this room that have come up to me and spoke to me, and I've received things from you guys, and it has just, man, it has just fueled me. It stirred me and moved me forward. Well, I hope that I can do the same to you in these days and the days moving forward. I hope that all of us become encouragers and that we don't hold back. Stop the negative things. Stop saying the negative. Even if somebody does you wrong, speak life. Forgive them. Know the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Understand what you need to do and how you need to walk this out. Many of us think we need to be justified. I'll tell you what justifies us: the grace of God and the blood of Jesus. That's it. God will have his way with us if we let him. Be encouraged. Christ, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I just want to read a little bit of scripture starting with verse 8 and just read through this a little bit. And of course, the Apostle Paul is talking about the day of the Lord and the return of Jesus, and he's comforting them and speaking to them in the first few verses. But he starts with verse 8 and he says, "But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that we, whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him." I'm encouraging you with that verse right there. Whether those have went ahead of you that are asleep at this moment, or if you're alive, all of us are going to live together with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit wants to stir you about that so that you can have hope and encouragement in your life today. You're going to live together with everybody in this room forever. Some of you are going, "Oh, no." Don't worry. The work of divine grace will get you where you need to be. But what I'm saying is this: that's the hope that we have in him. And then he says in verse 11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing." So he's saying, no one is off the hook in this place. This is the body of Christ. He's saying, encourage one another. Then he says, build each other up. Build each other up. It doesn't matter where, when, or whatever. Build each other up. We get these little things in our, what do they say, in our crawl, you know, and all of a sudden we have this little thing and we're just not going to share much because we've been this, or we're struggling with this, or that person didn't smile at me. And so we hold things back. God's saying, get rid of all that and start building each other up and encouraging each other. An action is to smile at somebody. "I'm not a smiler." Well, you need to be. He can do that. He can cause you to just grin like, you know, I don't know what this means, but my dad used to say, like a mule eating briars. I don't know what that means. I think I know what it means. Smiling like a mule eating briars. I don't know what that looks like. Then verse 12, in this it says, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give instruction, and that you esteem them very, very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Verse 14 again, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Being an encourager, Jesus teaches us the words of encouragement, and he fills us with encouragement. When you think of the Sermon on the Mount, and you think of Matthew chapter 6, and he says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, consider the lilies, the flowers, and the birds. And he says, I will take care of them. How much more will I take care of you? He said, don't worry. Don't live in anxiety. But be encouraged, because I'm going to take care of you. And then he said, seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things will be added on. That was an example of Jesus' provision for us. And that should encourage us. The Lord speaks about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says chapter 6, to ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given to you. Know that prayer is a form of encouragement. Forgiveness is in Matthew 6. He talks about the importance of forgiving others, that we cannot live in unforgiveness. The woman that was caught at the well in adultery, no one condemned her in her sin. Do you realize just how toxic sin is? How sin destroys you from walking in any part of your destiny? Sin causes you not to even think clearly. Sin causes you not to hunger for the word. Sin causes you to completely get off the path. And if you're living in a lifestyle of sin, get to the place where you can be before the Lord and trust him and hear his voice again. Do not start ministering out of your sin. Minister out of the amazing grace of God, when God forgives you and he releases you and he trains you and you get victory over the area of sin. Sin is toxic. It will kill you. It will destroy your family. It will destroy any ministry, anywhere, any place, anytime. It cannot run rampant in just a grace theology that accepts everything and we can keep on sinning. We can't. We can't. And then, of course, Jesus says, you know, in the Last Supper, you know, it is better that I go because I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. This is encouragement to us. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to live within you, and not only to be within you, but to walk alongside with you and comfort you and speak to you and create circumstances within your life. So Jesus is an encourager. If you're saying, I don't have an encourager, Jesus, let Jesus today be your encourager. He will provide you with provision. He fed the masses, protection when they were caught in the storm. When they were caught in the storm, he protected them. Healing. He is the healer. No matter what you're going through and your healing might be delayed, he is the healer. And he will bring about healing. Bartimaeus was poor and blind. Jesus had time for him. And then, of course, be encouraged with life. Always concerned he is for us. Always concerned. I think God is trying to speak to all of us in this room about a new initiative within our lives to live holy for him. I think he doesn't want us to live in any kind of boredom, but he wants us to live in the zeal of knowing him and the zeal of his word. How long has it been? How long has it been since the zeal of his word has consumed you and you went, oh, to know him? Well, let it happen today. Let it begin to happen now. If it's too and far and few in between, just begin to ask and seek and knock, and he will give it to you. How do we encourage? I'm going to kind of close this out, but this is how we can encourage. If you've got a pen, you can pin it or listen to this later. You can encourage by speech, by just giving a compliment. Speak the truth in love to someone and agree with them if it's appropriate to agree. Don't just agree with everything everybody says. So you can be an encourager. That's not good. Give them helpful information to help them maybe on their journey or what they're going through. Encourage them with scripture and always be willing to pray for them. That's how you can be an encourager. Correct them in love at the proper time if need be. Let them know you love them. Let them really know that you love them and you're praying for them. Comfort and assure them when they need it. And here's a big one. When somebody does something for you, this is how you can be an encourager. Learn to say, thank you. Thank you. You know how many people don't know how to say thank you these days? thank you. Not that you have to have it, but when you say thank you, it encourages people. And this is the actions that you can do. You can offer a smile, as I said earlier. You cannot interrupt somebody when they're talking and listen quietly. Woo-wee. You can hug them. You can forgive them. And you can serve them. I heard, I woke up this week in the middle of the night, and I heard the Lord say, humbled by his love and willing to serve. That's all I heard. It wasn't like it was even at me. I think it was, but it was humbled, be humbled by his love and be willing to serve. I heard that. Just, I mean, out of the clear blue, I wake up and that's what I hear in my head loud. Well, I know that that wasn't the enemy. That was the Lord. Hug them, forgive them, and serve them. Point out people's accomplishments. Be honest and be patient with folks. Accept them. As I said earlier, we're all a mess and we need Jesus. Point them in the right direction. Motivate them to do their best. And how has encouragement affected your life? Think about it. Have you encouraged lately? What words and actions did you use to encourage someone? And I just close this with this. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. Jesus lives it. He taught it. Paul, the apostle, lived it, and he taught it. Be an encourager. Today, I hope that you just, like, get wild with the encouragement. You call someone. You text someone. Not while you're driving. Okay, when you get home. Okay, now I'm going to share about the house of prayer and moving to the camp. And I have several things to share about that. And I think it's very important that you hear it. We've been praying and fasting and asking for direction for the Lord to speak. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know about you, I couldn't get out of this mall fast enough. I feel like the Lord really wants us to be at the camp. He wants us there. And we've gotten that for a while. And the camp is a place of refuge. Many of you haven't been there. And so I want to arrange something within hopefully a month or so that we can have a gathering out there and eat together again so you can experience a little bit, especially when the flowers are blooming. I spent about 2 hours yesterday there, and I was just overwhelmed by the Lord's presence again. It's a beautiful facility of 17 acres that God set us up, and he gave that to us. And when he gave that to us, it was a place of healing. It was a place of refuge. It was a place of the house of prayer. It was a place of equipping and training people up. And I believe with all my heart, God wants us to go back there again. Some people may say, well, are you kind of going backwards? No, we're going to a beautiful place where beautiful things happen and beautiful things are going to happen again. It's going to be a place of refuge. It's going to be a place of his presence. It already is. And I'm not saying that God can't work here and free people up right here, because he has. But as a leader and as an apostolic father and a leader, I have to say we are headed to the camp. And we're going to do everything possible. We're going to take an initiative to get that place set where we can begin to move forward and that we can worship out there. We can come out there. That you can come out there day or night, anytime, to just set and soak before the Lord and be before him. It's not going to be closed. It will at first. We'll only have set hours, but eventually it won't be. And you'll have availability to go there and be before the Lord. I believe it's God's way to freedom. My wife and I took this week to seek the Lord and just pray and got away. And I had three prophetic words given to me by people that didn't know that we were taking that time to seek the Lord and to pray. And one of the prophetic words had something to say like this, said, God's about ready to move you again, but in this place he's moving you to is a place of freedom and breakthrough and a place of healing. You can shake your head, you can, you know, think otherwise, but I can tell you, when God sets a place, a piece of property aside for something, it means something. And There's a healing balm out there. And I believe that when we move out there, not that God can't heal here, he does, but there is going to be a breakthrough in healing. And I'm saying that. I'm putting myself on the line saying that because it's going to be a place of his presence, and we're going to make sure that it is. So we're going to take an offering in a little bit, and I'm going to share a few more things about the house of prayer. But we're establishing that house of prayer because, like the worship you received this morning, men and women can come and be genuine and come and worship before the Lord. It's called to be a worship sanctuary, a place of encounter. That's what the house of prayer was. It was a place of encounter. It's not a Mike Bickle house of prayer, okay, or a Morningstar house of prayer, or a Bethel house of prayer. It's the Lord's house of prayer, Isaiah 56 and Matthew chapter 21. My house shall be called a house of prayer. A house of what? A house of encounter. A house of what? A worship sanctuary. So worship is going up before the Lord. If you find something wrong with that, let me know. Because I don't find anything wrong with that. Only if it was religious and stifling. The Lord told me a long time ago not to hold my, to hold my authority loosely. Because if you hold your authority too tight as a leader, then you can start controlling. And my heart was always about, you don't want, there's good control and bad control. Good control liberates people into their calling, their destiny, and their purpose. Bad control suffocates them for their own, for your own vision and for your building of your kingdom. And I've seen ministries happen all the time. If you're honest with yourself and you've been part of Voice Ministries, we've never been about building our kingdom. We've been about unity in the body of Christ. We've been about healing. And we've been about worshiping before the Lord. That's what we've been. If you remember the first time you walked into Voice, either you heard a passionate message about intimacy or you heard worship breaking forth that was breaking you out. God wants to advance all of you. And God wants to advance this ministry, and that's part of it. In the book of Haggai, there are four prophetic words that are given in the book of Haggai. And I won't go through all the prophetic words. It's only two chapters, so you can take time to read it. But the same things that happened in the book of Haggai back then are the same things that are happening even now today with our house of prayer and many across the land. God's purpose, again, is for the temple of the house of the Lord to be a place of encounter. It's to be a place that we pray for revival. We pray for the lost. It's a place that we honor him and give him supremacy and value who he is. It's a set-aside worship sanctuary where singers and musicians would worship day and night, as I said. Isaiah 56, Matthew 21. So what would God say today to his people about the house of prayer? And would he say you need to quit building it? I don't think he would. I think he would encourage us not to give up and keep going. If you look upon in Haggai, I don't know exactly what scriptures I'm going to be going through. She'll try to pull them up on the screen. But in the time of Haggai, the people got tired and they were just weary and they didn't really want to do it anymore. And they were thinking about the temple that used to be in Jerusalem and how this feeble little temple they were building was not even anything close. And God spoke to them about that. And then he said to them something like this. In Haggai chapter 1, he said, thus says the Lord of hosts, these people, he said, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. That's what the people are saying. And then he says, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while the house of the Lord lies desolate? Now, I don't believe that's a condemnation. I believe it's a reality check. Now, therefore, the Lord said in that first prophetic word, would you consider your ways? Consider your ways. Then in starting with verse 12, it says, let's see. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, again, I'm talking about the house of prayer, establishing it, what they were going through, the resistance and everything. It says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, they decided to obey the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord, their God, had sent him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, The Lord said, I'm with you on this, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. You have an opportunity to work on this, to give to this, to be a part of this. And God's going to do it with you, with me, or without you. He's going to do it. It's his heart. It's his word. Show me where I'm wrong. It's his word. And he's been wanting to do it for years. And we've put our hands to it and we've taken off. And you know what? It has sustained itself. And sometimes I would get discouraged and Dave and Denny would encourage me. And Dave would say, you know, we're still standing. People are still getting healed. We're still moving. It's not over yet. You know, it's not. Then the Lord said in chapter 2, I'll start with verse 3, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem like nothing in comparison? Are you discouraged? Does it not seem the same as it used to be when we were 3 years at the camp? You're going to live in discouragement? You're going to live in the old? But now, take courage. This is the Lord speaking in a prophetic way to Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage. Also Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. I love the part of verse 5 where it says, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. We know that Jesus tells us that. Starting with verse 6, it says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. We know that's going to happen. It's going to increase. The sea also and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver and is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. I will stop right there. What does all that mean? That means that God's house would always be a house of prayer. That means that houses of prayer, places of worship, that are being focused more upon Him and encountering Him, and the Great Commission moving out from that, are going to begin to happen all over the earth. It's in Isaiah 42 that I've preached over and over and over. And God is giving you and I an opportunity to be a part of this. This is not a sales gig to sell you to give money. This is an opportunity for you to sow into something that's much bigger, and that I'm saying, we're committed to seeing it come to pass with counseling and healing and evangelism flowing out from it, and a place that you can come to and be there and sit before the Lord. This is not an idea that somebody had. This is the Word of God. And God wants to advance all of you and bring you into freedom. This is part of it. Some of you may feel called to this, and some of you may not. And you need to know that that's okay. But you also need to know if it's not, you don't feel called to it, that wherever you are, know that the house of prayer is part of God's heart, and it's part of the whole kingdom of God advancing in the midst of God's people. So that you're not like jealous or they think this or that. No, this is where God's called us to be. This is who we are. We're called to be worshipers. We're called to live in the presence. We're called to live under the umbrella of the Word. We're called not to be a bunch of people of boredom, but of fire. To be fire torchbearers again, speaking life to one another. And I believe that in the next 90 days, if we could just keep praying and pressing in, that so much could be done in 90 days. That we could be closer and closer to getting at the camp. There might be ways that we can get there sooner. I know that it messes with people's minds sometimes because everyone wants an I dotted and a T crossed. I'm really not concerned about it because the I's will get dotted and the T's will be crossed. I'm concerned about a people getting in the midst of the presence of God and people having faith again to see God do miracles right before their eyes again, because they're using their faith to say yes. When I opened up, okay, you guys are going, okay, he, you know, I'm a, Jerry was an airplane, I'm a restaurant story guy. Jerry Reeder always talked about airplanes, I'm talking about restaurants. When we opened up the restaurant for the first time that God told us to do, this is what happened. This is what happened. I had the foundation. It says, consider the cost and make sure the foundation is right, right? Everybody? You want to make sure. And so I had worked in so many restaurants and managed to open them up, all kinds of different restaurants. So when it came to open up my own restaurant the first time, when I went to do it, I had negotiated a deal, and I got everything ready because God told me to do it. And the three men that I thought most of, businessmen, came about 6 months into it and said, you need to shut it down because this mall is Pierre Moran Mall, if you know. It was dead. Nobody's there. You're going to hit the wall. And I said, God told me. Well, I don't care if God told you. You better get out of here. You're going to lose your shirt and everything else. So I open up the restaurant. I have $3,600 in the account. I've got a full staff. I've got all the providers that have provided all the food. If you know anything about business, you know that $3,600 is not going very far. And in 2 weeks to 3 weeks, I'm going to hit the wall. And I walked out in the atrium of that restaurant, and I said, God, if I've got you wrong, I'm never going to get you right. But the right foundation in that moment was faith. The right foundation in that moment was hearing the voice of God speaking to me. And when I heard the voice of the Lord, I knew that it wasn't going to fail. And I knew it was against all odds. And I knew enough about business that I was going to blow it massively and leave a whole bunch of people mad at me and probably end my career in doing a restaurant. That door opened up and we were packed with a line, and in 7 months that restaurant was paid off because God spoke and somebody was going to have faith, and that somebody was me and my wife and my sister. Exactly. And that applause goes to God because sometimes God's telling you right now to step out in faith and not live in discouragement or a lack of. But you got to hear the voice of God. You don't want to give God a bad name by doing foolish things and stepping out in faith when you didn't even hear him. You got to know you hear him. And he spoke to you. God wants to take the marketplace and intimacy with Jesus. He wants these businesses that are in this place to be a part of the house of the Lord. It always was and will always be. It's not about hoarding and having your own. It's about advancing the kingdom with what God gives you. Some of you in this room haven't tithed. God calls us to tithe and to give. He wants to advance. He still loves you. He'll still work in your life, but he wants to bless you. And it's through the giving. If you don't believe that, it's the word of God. It's through giving that you receive not only of yourself and your talents, but your finances. That's God. Do you own your next breath? No. He does. He gives it to you. He wants to bless you and he wants to move you. And I believe with all my heart, I'm not an Anna in the house of prayer, but I know that I'm supposed to oversee and help see this thing through, and that there's going to be a template out there of a refuge, a place of his presence, a place of counseling and healing, a place of equipping, that we equip people to walk out their destinies and help them even more than we ever have, and know that we're going to set those folks in motion. And you know what this is all about? It's about receiving, being a part of this, equipping, and sending people out to do the work of the ministry. So, oh, there it is. We're going to take up an offering. And this offering, there's several different ways. And Josh, you need to come up here because you got to explain something real quick about the GoFundMe. We're going to do several different ways to just say, okay, here's an opportunity to give. And I said, if just a few people that have been touched by Voice Ministries would just give like $25, that it would help us to get to that place of doing this. And before Josh shares of how you can give, and I'm going to pray, I want to share this because this is why God's going to do it with us or without us. Some of you know that Robert and Laura got engaged here recently. And Laura has been ministering to a lady, and has been a friend of the lady for a long time. And this lady just went through, she's in her 70s, and she just went through a real rough time and lost, she had part of her leg amputated. And she's just a real prayer warrior. And she happened to run into Laura, seeing Laura with her devotions. And somewhere, I don't know if it was a coffee shop or whatever, they begin to talk. And Laura began to talk to her. And she said, Laura, she said, I just feel like the Lord wants me to tithe somewhere differently and give somewhere differently than where I'm giving. And I, every time I pray about it, because she's a woman of prayer, she said, I see your face, Laura. I see your face every time. And she said, you know, do you know what that means? And they asked about Laura's worship team at the college, you know, if that needs to be supported or whatever. And they talked a little bit about that and then talked a little bit about Laura's church. And Laura said, well, you know, there is, I told you about, you know, Bob and Deanna and Robert, and I told you about the House of Prayer up in Elkhart, Indiana. And as soon as she said House of Prayer, Laura told me this morning on the phone, I made sure I got the story right, that she said her face just lit up. She said, that's where I'm supposed to give, to that House of Prayer. And so yesterday, we received a check from this lovely lady, Marilyn, for $500 to the House of Prayer, to this House of Prayer. That's 500 bucks. And it came from someone that doesn't even go here. But God spoke to them in the Spirit and brought it in. And I believe that that's, you know, when you look at the figures on that sheet, it's like, whoa, this is a small congregation. What are you talking about? How can we raise that kind of money? Well, we can do it in segments as far as getting it done. But the fact is, it's not just going to come from us. It's going to come from businesses and people like Marilyn that give 500 bucks. So there's different ways that you can give, and we're going to get ready to take up this offering. Josh, why don't you just share? This is something Josh is just couldn't wait to get up here on the microphone and talk to you.
Okay, there's three ways, basically. Your offering envelope, you can make sure you just write the building project or the camp project or the House of Prayer on the envelope itself, and then put it in the offering or in the box in the back. So that's one way. Second way would be this website right here. This is our GoFundMe, and this is a big thing because basically on GoFundMe, if you have a Facebook,
how many people have Facebook?
Yeah, how many have Facebook? Look at all those people. So we're gonna share a link on the Voice Ministries Facebook, and I want you guys who have Facebook to share that link with your friends, and then they share that link with their friends, and it just kind of spreads. And people, like he was saying, 25 bucks, 10 bucks, whatever it is, you know, people are sharing that, and they're reading about the vision, and they're reading updates, and you can see what's happening. Because we'll be keeping that updated. We'll add videos, all that stuff on the GoFundMe. So that's the second option. The third option is go to thecamp.voiceministries.com. And that has even more information and also a way to give directly on that page as well.
That's good. Thank you so much, Josh. Thank you, Josh. Give Josh, come on. Okay. Many of you have been praying about this offering. Some of you haven't. Maybe it's sprung on you and you need to pray about it, and that's okay. But I'm going to open in prayer. I'm going to have Brian also come and pray. Go ahead, brother. Lord Jesus, I just come before you, and you know our efforts. You know where we have been. You know the journey. You know the yeses as within our hearts. And Lord, we're just asking for a divine miracle. For you to pull at the heartstrings, that every penny that's taken today will go toward building the house of the Lord. We thank you for the finances that have already come in. But Lord, you said that the gold and the silver is yours. And Lord, we said for many years, where God guides, God provides. And so God, establish this place in this county as a place of your presence. As a place that people would be fed and encouraged and healed. We ask God for singers and musicians that desire to sit before you and minister to you, for more of them to come. For people that desire to pray. For people that desire to equip and teach people the word. For people that desire to go out and share the gospel. Let them be a people that have a whole team behind them praying and interceding for miracles and signs and wonders. Establish this house. Bring in the fresh. Bring in the old. New stones, old stones, burnt stones. Bring them in to build this house for your glory. As your word says, this is for your glory and for your honor. And God, may we meet out there soon, within the next month, and just be able to enjoy your presence and fellowship and encourage one another. I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Brian. Thank you, Lord.
I've got to tell you a little bit about what the house of prayer that Bob's talking about at the camp, how it's different from this place. How many of you know it's hard to have an open heaven in a place like this? It's kind of spiritually polluted. There's all kinds of things just pass through here. But when you have a place that's set apart for the Lord, and you have musicians and people praising and worshiping night and day in a place like this, it's totally different. About 9 years ago, I had a stroke, and I had a lot of time to sit before the Lord. And it was a very spiritual time. I saw a lot of visions and things. And I woke up one morning, I was doing a lot of artwork on my computer, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go to the Voice Camp, and I want you to create under an open heaven. So right away, I got dressed, took my computer out, and is on my way. And I'm telling you, this kind of stuff doesn't happen all the time to me. But as I pulled out, I had a little blue Ford truck. I pulled out of my driveway and I saw in the spirit. I can't tell you how I saw it in my mind, but I saw a full-size lion running beside me. I'm telling you, I don't know how to explain it. I don't see it that way right now. I want to see things like that again. I maybe believe you could see things in the spirit. Amen? So all the way to Voice Camp, this lion is running on my right side beside my truck. It's like Aslam is beside me, right? So I go all the way there and I'm encouraged because I don't know what's going on, but there's a lion beside me, right? So I get there and I start using my computer doing these paintings, and then here's where it gets interesting is when people enter into what you're seeing. Then it becomes reality, right? When somebody else sees it, it kind of tells you I'm not crazy after all. Bob's secretary comes into the worship area. What was her name back then? Do you remember? No, it's before that. It was. Oh, it's after that.
Pam.
No, but anyways, she came in, and this was without me talking about it. Adriana came in from the office into where the pool area was. You know, I think Evie was playing music. The atmosphere was beautiful. It's so peaceful. It's so set apart. And Adriana says, hey, does anybody see that lion sitting over in the corner over there? I mean, I see the lion running beside me, and then somebody else comes into the room and sees the lion. That's not the only story. The lion has been here a couple times. When we moved to Napanee Street, when we dedicated Napanee Street as a house of prayer, Dave Posguy said, you know, while you guys are praying and proclaiming and prophesying, there's a lion on the stage jumping back and forth and roaring. And it was like he was claiming this territory. Now I'm telling you, what is an open heaven? I think the first place you see it and the first place you hear house is, remember Jacob running for his life from Esau. And the Bible says he comes upon a place where there's a stone, a rock. You know that rock was Christ, right? He slept in that place all night, and then all of a sudden he had a dream and he saw a ladder. And there were angels ascending and descending. And he woke up and he said, how awesome is this place? It's none other than the house of God. And he anointed that rock. Now, here's the motivation for what Bob's talking about. It's not obedience to Bob. It's not obedience. It's about how precious that rock is. And Peter says, and coming unto a precious stone, you who believe he is precious. And it talks about you being living stones, fitted together in the wall to make a holy habitation. Why don't you stand with me right now? There was something, was there something precious here this morning in worship? See, this is where the Lord wants to get you. Remember the alabaster box. Mary Magdalene was so thankful. That alabaster box was worth a full year's wages. Remember how she was judged? She was judged because of who she was. She was also judged by Judas. Why would you spend something on him like that? Here's the motivation. How precious is he really? When you tap into how precious Jesus really is, when you think back and you think all the things he's done for me, how you set me free from all this life's bondage. The Bible says she entered in, she wept at his feet. She broke this alabaster box and the fragrance filled the room. And as they were judging her and misunderstood what she did, Jesus said this. He said, I tell you assuredly, this story about her will be told forever. There's moments when God will see you, when he will see everything you do, like the widow with the last mite. The Bible says she gave all of her living. She was sold out. She gave everything. So, Lord, we just declare that you're precious. It's not about obedience to a man. It's not about building a box. It's about anointing a stone that is Christ. It's about setting the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected, but we know that you are precious. It's about establishing a house, none other than the house of God, where angels ascend and descend, where people can come into experiences and encounters where they can't anywhere else, where miracles happen. Father, we thank you that this morning, we just declare that this is a special day to you. That we make a mark, that when we give our offering, we anoint that stone just like Jacob poured oil on that stone and established Bethel. Do you feel his presence right now? Just thank him. Just tell him he's precious. Oh, you are so precious, Lord, and we don't do this unto a man, we do it unto you. We anoint that rock that is Christ, and we want to be those living stones that are put together, that come into alignment with the four corners of who you are. That we wouldn't be scattered anymore. That we'd find our place in your wall. That we would be a holy habitation unto you, and you would fill it with your presence. You'd fill it like Solomon's temple. The glory of the Lord would come down and it'd be so powerful, so full, that you'd drive us out and it would be seen. It'd be like Azusa Street. They said it was on fire and fire trucks came out and check it. You want that? I want Azusa Street fire. I want the glory of God. Amen. He's looking for a place. It's like a dove looking for a peaceful place. So Lord, today we just, in this, we declare this is an anointed offering. And it's our heart to yours. It is our testimony of how precious you have been. Like Mary Magdalene, Lord. I believe there's a lot of alabaster boxes here that just have been waiting for that precious moment to know this is the time. This is the time I want to break this thing over you. This is the time I want to weep over your feet. And I want you to know how wonderful you are. That you are precious. And though everybody else rejects you, like David, we want to build a house for you. We want to build your house. We want it to be day and night worship. Like David had a heart after God's own heart. He brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city. He danced all the way there. He sacrificed all the way there. And then he put priesthood around the Ark to worship so he could keep God in the city. Who has ever done such a thing? So, Lord, here we do it again. This is our motivation. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. And just tell him you're precious to us. You are so precious.
Amen. We'll take up the offering now. Where's everybody at?
They did already.
Oh, they already did? Oh, my gosh, I didn't get to give. Get up here. Somebody give me something. I got to give this thing in there. Yeah. Man, that was a slick offering. There we go. Thank you. All right. Well, you've been real patient and beautiful. And the last scripture I'll read to you is Zechariah, where it says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace, grace, grace. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands shall also finish it. For who has despised the day of small things? These seven eyes rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord. And a signet ring was given to him." That was reflecting honor and authority. So God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the patience of everyone. And may we go out of here being encouragers, and may we be prayer warriors for the days ahead in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name.